south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, let's talk about some of the stories that are headlining in big Latin newspapers. Well, here I see a big article that says nearly all the rivers in Latin America are contaminated. Well, we knew that and spoke about that in a previous show. I also mentioned previously that in my experience anyway, and I've been around the world a couple times, Latins are the litteringest people in the world. Litteringest, is that a word? Well, it is now. Don't think you're not allowed to create your own words. I mean, how'd the dictionaries spring up, huh? Of course, to be expected, the more education a Latin person has, the less he's likely to litter. Still, you could be driving behind a guy in a Range Rover, and the window will go down and they'll throw some crap out the window. McDonald's wrappers, junk food bags, Coke cans, the usual suspects. And of course, you longtime listeners might remember me telling the story when I first got to Latin America and I actually rode the chicken bus a few times. There were signs posted in the front of many chicken buses right up by the driver that said, please throw your garbage or basura in Spanish out the windows. Because, you know, they didn't want their buses to be loaded up with food wrappers and other junk. And way back when, 20-something years ago, where do you think I saw most of those signs? In Costa Rica. So with Latins being the litteringest people around, there's that word again. Maybe we'll start a trend. When you come down here, whether on vacation or for your plan B, you're going to be slightly pissed off, even outraged, but then what? Well, you could say something and get the glazed eyeball look, or you can just bite your tongue. I suggest take a couple of deep breaths and think about this. If you look at the recent history of any first world country, you'll see they went through those stages too. Ask your parents or your grandparents. There was a time with every developed country when littering was kind of a pastime and all the rivers were polluted too. So with habits that are kind of distasteful, even disgusting here in Latin America, it's all about the lag time, you know. Little by little, third world countries are getting with it, but it will take time. And remember that old saying, I think Shakespeare said it, poor people have poor habits. He also said, expectation is the root of all heartache. Man, did he get that right, huh? Oh, and by the way, the only places in Latin America that you see three separate garbage cans, you know, where you separate your waste and stuff, are in tourist and gringoized areas. Isn't that funny? Meanwhile, in the rest of Latin America, you won't see any of that. Now, there are a lot of very high-end malls and such in wealthy areas way off the gringo tourist trail. They look completely first world, except they don't have the recycling bins going. They just haven't gotten that far along in their mental processes yet. Not to mention the garbage men down here. No, they're not garbage men or sanitary engineers. They're just garbage men, basureros. Though Latinos are nuts about titles, there's no sign of PCing up the place, not yet. Now, if you were to ask a garbage man or a basurero about recycling, he'd say they only bother to separate and recycle stuff that's got some value to them. Believe it or not, that's how garbage men make extra dough, by what you might call professional dumpster diving. For them, it's got nothing to do with cleaning up the environment or making your area beautiful. It's about the money. That means there's a very active metal scrap business throughout Latin America, which is a good thing because it does eliminate some of the waste and provide some jobs, too. But the fact is, wealthy, high-end, so-called educated Latins who live in expensive, gated, guarded communities, always surrounded by very nice first-world business and shopping areas, well, it doesn't seem to matter because by our standards, most of them are litter bugs too. Yet, those places remain nice and even pristine. How'd that happen? Well, that's because they've got so many minimum wage grunt workers picking up after them. You might remember from a previous show, Latins don't pick up dog poop either. And upscale Latins with some education who should know better, they don't either. Even though pretty much every Starbucks that's outdoors in a separate building, in a wide open space and an ample parking lot, has an actual dog poop station with dedicated plastic bags. I imagine that's the same setup for Starbucks up in the States, though I wouldn't know, I'd never go back. Even so, it doesn't matter. It has no impact. People don't get it. Starbucks workers will tell you no one ever grabs a bag and uses it for that purpose. Though workers will tell you those bags do disappear in a hurry, so oftentimes they just don't refill them. People steal them. Speaking of plastic bags and pollution, There's some nasty news coming out of the Caribbean side of Latin America, specifically coming out of Honduras right now, the little beautiful island of Roatan. Like to take vacations there myself sometimes. Better late than never, they just banned the use of plastic bags in grocery stores, and Panama and Costa Rica have done the same thing too. Which again falls right into that lag time theory. Those are the three most gringoized areas in Central America anyway. And so that pressure of having so many gringo tourists and knowing their habits and disdain for garbage and the damage plastic bags do to marine life, it was only a matter of time before they were pressured into outlawing them. As for full disclosure, I do litter a bit myself, but only biodegradable stuff. For example, when I'm peeling an orange or a tangerine, occasionally I'll let it hit the sidewalk, but you know, here in Latin America, millions of trees are dropping uneaten fruit like crazy. Hey, if it's all right with Mother Nature, I guess it's not a sin then, right? As long as it's truly biodegradable and not processed, you know. You could say paper is biodegradable, but I'm not going to throw that on the ground. But as for an orange peel or an apple core, that's another thing. If there is no garbage can around, I just might toss something like that on the curb. If you don't like it, sue me. But I guarantee you the very next day, it'll be gone. And not because some human thought it was a good idea to pick it up. How'd that happen? Meanwhile, you've got 95% of the Latin population littering as a lifestyle choice. However, I have to admit it's mostly the Latin men, the macho guys. But that's not to say everyone litters all the time and throws their crap everywhere, you know? Even a dog doesn't poop where he sleeps. It seems to me, upon observation, Latins will put their garbage in a trash can if one's available, but unfortunately when one is available, it's often stuffed to the brim and overflowing, and the overspill all over the sidewalk. So the government trash pickup service is at fault too. And worse, listen to this article. It says, shocking photo shows Caribbean Sea being choked to death by human waste. Man, that grabs your attention, huh? He starts by saying, a photographer has captured the damage being done to the planet's oceans with a shocking sea of plastic and styrofoam, an image taken near the tranquil Caribbean island of Roatan. So there's a huge plastic blanket of forks, bottles, and rubbish between Roatan and the Cayos Cochinas Island off the coast of Honduras. Then it says, we were on a diving trip, and the worst of the rubbish we saw was around 15 miles off the coast of Roatan, heading for Cayos Cochinos Marine Reserve. By the way, Cayos Cochinos means the island of pigs, or pig island. Rather fits in with the theme, don't you think? Then the author says, we passed through floating garbage for nearly 5 miles, adding everywhere we looked, plastic bags of all shapes and sizes, chip bags, Ziplocs, grocery trash bags, snack bags, and other packages were everywhere. Then she says, there weren't just plastic bags and junk food items. There were broken soccer balls, toothbrushes, TVs, and so many shoes and flip-flops I couldn't count them. Then the article alludes to the fact that most of the garbage they believe originates from the Guatemalan, Honduran, and Mexican mainlands, washing into the sea during heavy rains. Then they ask a question, do you really need those plastic spoons and forks with that Chinese carryout? Especially since the average useful lifespan of a plastic bag is 12 minutes. Meanwhile, a bag floating in the ocean might not decompose for 6 months to a year. And when it does decompose and break down into its component molecules, animals absorb it, and then we end up absorbing it. Some plastic monomers are so small, even standard filtration equipment won't remove them. Which is why these days scientists are saying that every one of us has a toxic level of plastic monomer throughout our bodies. And why scientists say it's impossible to put a restrictive limit on the amount a body can handle because we're all overloaded with it. It's one of those taboo subjects the media doesn't want to talk about. And if you bring it up at a party, people's eyes glaze over. They just make an excuse to walk over the bar to get a refill on that Johnny Walker with a plastic cup and swizzle stick, too. Oh, and here's a revolting development. Listen to this. It's from a piece of an article called Plastic by the Numbers. Did you know? Only 12% of plastic is actually recycled. The rest goes into the environment. Worse yet, an average of 11,000 pieces of microplastic are ingested by every human each year. Meanwhile, just 100 years ago, 0 pieces of microplastic were ingested by humans. And get this, in the UK, 8.5 billion plastic bags are used each year in supermarkets. Then supermarkets start charging 5 pence for each plastic bag. reducing in 1 year that $8.5 billion to only $2.5 billion, a reduction of $6 billion, or 80%. So they charged about 60 cents for every plastic bag that was formerly free. So people started bringing in their own plastic and cloth sacks. So it's true, every Latin river and lake is polluted. And the only place where standing or moving water is really clean in the wilds is up where the water source is, usually in the mountains, or water coming right out of a spring. Which is why you absolutely have to filter your water. And of course, you should do it in the States too, because their water sources are contaminated as well, no matter what the government tells you. Sure, I still have friends up in Chicago who drink tap water straight. They say, I'm not going to buy that expensive bottled water. It's more expensive than Bud Light. Plus, the government says it's okay. Duh. Who was it that said, to be old and wise, you must first be young and stupid? Oscar Wilde, maybe? Can't remember. Would make a good t-shirt, though, huh? So, you want some more ugly? Well, listen to this. From the Poe Folks Have Poe Habits Department. And I'll paraphrase and just tell you the fun parts. All Americans living just north of the Mexican border cannot help but notice the environmental damage being done by the hundreds of thousands of Latin Americans clamoring across the border every month. U.S. land and property owners watch silently and in disgust as they see immigrants setting fires, dumping litter, breaking down fences, spray painting gang signs, trashing parks, and defacing monuments, roads, and rest stops. Then it says the problem isn't just the number of people traipsing through the U.S. wilderness areas. It's that uneducated societies have no concept of what litter is or the effects it has. That's a quirk of prosperous societies. The damage to our parks shows these cultural differences between illegal immigrants and regular citizens. Writing in an environmental journal at New York State University, Rosa P. Oakes describes the damage to flowers, plants, and trees as reprehensible. Then she has a long list of what's being damaged. For example, towering cactus, Joshua trees, flowering cactus, etc. With accompanying photos, she notes that immigrants' litter includes abandoned vehicles, used needles, other drug paraphernalia, bedding, plastic grocery bags, paper, empty water containers, blankets, clothing, used diapers, amongst other things. Then it says, get this, the Mexican cultural trait of littering is apparently well known to everyone except American journalists who rarely report on it. Then it says, and man, is this un-PC. Hey, but sometimes there's nothing more irritating than the truth, right? The best way to find out about garbage being dumped all over by our vibrant immigrant community is to look at local news stories from any town that contains an Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. That means the town is mostly Hispanic. Then it says, here are three examples from just last year. Number one, local politicians in heavily Hispanic Allentown, Pennsylvania, wanted to rename 7th Street Calle Siete. Then it turned out that the Hispanic merchants on Calle Siete had no interest in this idea. Their number one issue? Litter. Dorcas de Viera, an immigrant from Guatemala in that city, said in perfect English, the litter problem in Latin parts of the city is embarrassing. Dorcas, who owns a local business, says every morning she goes out and personally picks up the litter from the sidewalk before her clients arrive. Number two, graffiti, which some social do-gooders have said is an art form. Now, according to people who study these things, 90% of all graffiti in the U.S. is done by Latinos and Latino gangs. By the way, how are you guys on that idea that graffiti is an art form? Yeah, and I suppose rap and reggaeton are music. Man, all I can say is I'm glad I'm here in Latin America. Now, you could say it's ironic. But as far as graffiti, especially south of the border, that's south of the Mexican border, it's mostly where you expect it, in the poor slums. You only see it in tiny dribs and drabs in middle class and upper neighborhoods. Funny though, down here in the boonies and in the countryside, you almost never see it, as opposed to Tucson, Cleveland, or Chicago. I bet a Bitcoin that there's more graffiti just in the Chicagoland area than in all Central America combined. Remember, Mexico is not part of Central America. It's part of North America. In fact, one day not so long ago, I was talking to expat Eddie about graffiti. He's really quite the unsung artist, you know. He's one of those guys that can draw a portrait like nobody's business. Man, I don't have a lick of that kind of talent. If he would have just saved all the cool stuff he drew on bar napkins over the years, he could have had a really nice art show. I've told him 1,000 times if he ever hits the skids again, he could just take a pad and pencil, sit down on a street corner in any Central Park in Latin America, and make a living at it. He's as good as the best of them. Anyway, I remember we got into this discussion about graffiti. And I said, Eddie, I don't get it. How come there's 1,000 times more of it in the States than Latin America? Yet, up in the States, it's the Latins who are doing it. He said, Johnny, think about it. A can of spray paint, $3. That's a half day's salary for an agricultural worker here. Where we come from, that's bus fare. But where were we? Oh yeah, we're talking about news stories concerning Latin litter bugs. Well, how about this? If you talk to parks and recreation people up in the States, they'll tell you that after a sporting event, when everyone goes home and all that's left is the cleanup, they can tell you in a second what general class of person was in attendance. Sure, it's a generalization, but generalizations always have basis in fact. And by far, the sporting events that have the most accumulation of garbage, surprise, surprise, soccer matches. No, not baseball, football, basketball, tennis, or, God forbid, ice hockey. Talk about squeaky clean. Those Canadians in their ice hockey, huh? Very low post-game litter count there. Anyway, the article goes on to say, last October, the Parks and Recreation Department of Decatur, Alabama, was again forced to remove goals from the soccer field because of the mountains of garbage routinely left behind by the majority in attendance, the Hispanic community. So one could and rightly make the unkind generalization that Latinos coming to America do not share North Americans' love of nature and cleanliness. And their definition of litter is not nearly the same as our definition of it. Hey, so how un-PC is that? But you know, you can't argue with what you're seeing with your own two eyes. All right, before you start sending me emails telling me I'm being way too harsh here, and that Latinos will surely shape up when shown good examples. Well, that's true, and I do believe it's all about education. Not schooled education, I'm talking about the education you get from your parents in the home. Specifically from your mom, and I'm talking to you Latin moms out there. What the hell's wrong with you that you can't teach your own kids to put their litter in a garbage can? Or teach your boys not to whip it out and pee any time they get the urge. Which begs the question, you moms and dads up there in Cleveland, Seattle, and Milwaukee, what would you do if your teenager young adult kid said, hey, dad, pull over, I gotta take a whiz. And he proceeded to water the shrubs right on the spot. I think corporal punishment would make a quick comeback, don't you? I know it's a different thing if you're out hiking in the woods, but still, you first scout around for a lonely place, even if it's not convenient. All right, turn in the corner now. As this show goes out on Friday, the 24th of November, that means you've got 7 days to sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar and still take advantage of the early bird discounts. That's a $500 discount per person. Then on December 1st, we're back to the normal pricing again. To check out the itinerary and get the sign-up info, just go to thenewexpat.com website and click on Johnny's Seminar link. And while you're there at thenewexpat.com, don't forget to check out the itineraries for the pre- and post-John Galt special trips. Whether you're just thinking about it or actually putting together your plan B, the only way to save yourself from reinventing the wheel, stripping your gears, wasting a lot of time and money, is to get boots on the ground in Latin America. The right kind of boots on the ground. Let's face it, if you just land down here and follow your instincts and don't have much of a plan, just poking around, checking things out, well, that's all right if you got the money and all the time in the world, but really, how many of us can do that unless we're backpacking college students? Like I said, you need the right kind of boots on the ground. That's so important. I mean, hey, that's exactly what my Expat Insider Seminar is all about. You're drinking from the fire hose in the morning, and every afternoon and evening, we got heavy boots on the ground. That's why people call it Expat Boot Camp. So it's all about the right kind of boots on the ground, and that's exactly what the John Galt trips offer too. So go to thenewexpat.com website and click on those links. Check them out. And of course, if you can't make it down to the seminar or get boots on the ground just yet, the very next best way to get your plan B percolating is to sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials video course. And you know, lately, more than half of the people who come to the seminar have taken that course beforehand. It's getting rave reviews, so do check it out at expatplanb.com. Oh, and don't forget about Jack Brett's special offer on his Fast Spanish book, second edition. It just came out last week. He's offering it free, exclusively to Expat File listeners. Just go to theexpatfiles.com/fastspanish. Now, since Jack made that free offer to us last week, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Great feedback. Everyone's surprised and pleased, and they can't believe he's giving it out for free. I mean, it's over 100 pages. And you know, it's all about his year-plus-long boots-on-the-ground voyage to find the best, fastest, and most economic way for gringos and expats to learn their Spanish. A little spoiler here, he found the very best place in all Latin America to be in a certain altiplano town in Guatemala. So what are you waiting for? Get it for free at theexpatfiles.com/fastspanish. Just one more thing, or two more things. No matter where you are along the line with your plan B or you're just thinking about it, you'll be doing yourself a big favor by downloading my free Plan B consultation questionnaire form. You'll find that too on the main page of the newexpat.com website. Download it, have a look. Everyone's been saying it really helps. And speaking of phone consults, by the way, if you download that form, no obligation, just have a look at it. You know, if you sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar, you and I will be doing a one-on-one hour-long phone consultation before you come down. That's all part of the deal. So if you have any unanswered questions about the seminar, Latin America, or getting your Plan B going, fret no longer. Two heads are better than one unless you're looking to buy a sombrero. In any case, I'll help walk you through your questions and concerns. But where were we? Oh yeah, discussing some of the late-breaking news stories in the big Latin newspapers. Stories that never make it up to the States. The headline says, in Spanish, so I'll translate, "The taxpaying public is critical of policemen using their patrol cars as family vehicles for personal use." Then it shows pictures of cops in uniform driving their patrol cars around town with their wives, kids, brothers, sisters, girlfriends, mistresses, whatever. Seems like if you have a patrol car, anything goes and no one's checking. There's one shot here of a cop driving, and there's a lady in the passenger seat all decked out in a party dress, high heels, makeup, hair done up, bright red lipstick. I suppose out for a night on the town at the local cantina, who knows? Then there's a shot of a uniformed cop driving along, and in back he's hauling a refrigerator. Yeah, that's all in a day's work for a cop, right? Then there's another shot of a cop in his patrol car hauling what looks like half of an adolescent soccer team in uniform. Then there's a shot of two cops with their patrol pickup loading up on pineapples and papayas. Then there's another police pickup with the back end just filled with hundreds of tennis shoes, man. It appears the guy's got a business on the side. Can't fault him for that. And probably the best shot is a cop car parked next to a river with two cops nearby sitting on lawn chairs fishing. Shades of Andy, Barney, Gomer, and Ernest T. Bass down by the fishing hole, huh? Speaking of fish, now I do eat fish, but I never eat those antibiotically saturated farmed fish like tilapia, you know, the ones that live in their own doo-doo. As for me, I'll only eat fresh catch ocean fish coming in from local boats, and it can't be the frozen stuff either. By the way, I will be doing a show on farmed fish and shrimp very soon because that's a huge industry here, and it ain't pretty. But as far as Latin cops using their patrol cars as family vehicles, if you're watching this show on YouTube, whenever I get it up there, you'll see some of these photos. And finally, the public is speaking out. They're pissed. And if you're thinking like an uptight first world anal gringo, you might say, it's about time. Let's punish them too. Maybe court-martial them, knock them down a rank, and put them back in the barrio walking the beat. Now, years ago when I first got down to Latin America, I probably would have thought that way too. But I have to say, after living here as many years as I have and seeing how most all the cops south of the border, that would be cops south of the Mexican border, are basically the definition of happy, lazy, lard-ass slugs. I'll tell you, I'd rather have them hauling their daughters and relatives around to quinceañera parties than putting up roadblocks, stopping people, and hitting them for bribes. Here's the thing. Your opinion about a lot of things here in Latin America changes as time goes by. It's kind of like the phenomena you see over time with so many bright, rational Americans. That is, when they're in high school and college, they're liberal Democrats, practically socialists, because hell, everything they are and have is due to their parents who are paying for everything. Then when they get out, start accumulating things, get a job, have bills and mortgages, all of a sudden they get struck with a conservative streak. Maybe they even vote Republican. Then they discover nothing changes, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. They become rather individualistic and libertarian-ish. In other words, you want more freedom, not less. Less government, not more. More privacy, not less. Fewer laws, less regulations, not more. In other words, in a roundabout way, everyone should stand or fall based on his own work, perseverance, wits, and accomplishments. I mean, come on, who of us can say we're the same person we were back in university? When more or less it was mom and dad and or government loans or scholarships that footed your bills and your lifestyle. Including, of course, those famous drunken spring break blowouts at Fort Lauderdale and Daytona Beach. Back when I was in college, that was the pinnacle of spring break excess. Of course, these days, Florida is a rather unremarkable and pedestrian place to go for spring break. Now, kids demand to go to far-flung places on their parents' dime, of course, like Cancun, Playa del Carmen, Jamaica, or Costa Rica. In fact, my sister's entitled kid, who goes to school in Madison, Wisconsin, she came right out and said, it's Cancun or nothing, because that's where her friends are all going. Now, if I was her dad, I'd have said, fine, nothing it is. I mean, come on, who'd have thought for a college spring break, Florida was no longer awesome? And you know, when I hear these stories from members of my own immediate family, I'm thinking, I'm glad I don't have kids because if I did, I'd probably slap them up once in a while till they got the message. Then I'd end up in some kind of anger management program in a parental halfway house or something. I mean, that is the fashion up where you live these days, right? The kids dial an 800 number and the cops come and haul the parents away. And don't think, down here in Latin America, when you're sitting around with a bunch of Latinos or gringos, subjects like that don't come up. They do. Latinos are curious. They hear those things. Rumors, you know? Some Latinos have heard if you raise your hand to your kid or even yell at them a bit too much, they can call the cops and have you hauled away. When I tell them it's true, they just can't believe it. They think I'm pulling their leg. I'm having them on. In fact, one Latin guy told me if they had such an 800 number here in Latin America, if you dialed it, no one would pick up. One last thing about cops and patrol cars here in Latin America. As it turns out, only about one cop in 20 is assigned a patrol car, always with a partner, of course. So if you become a cop, the odds aren't very good that you're going to get a patrol car, but when you do, man, you won the lottery. And since Latin cops are only allotted around 2 gallons of gas a day, they're glad to haul around friends, neighbors, and family because the deal is they buy the gas. And as long as statistics bear out that 90% of cops in Latin America don't own their own cars, for the average slug, being a cop with his own patrol car will always be the dream job. Dream job number 2, motorcycle cop. The advantage there, you're allotted a gallon of gas, but it lasts all day.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.